And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, I was going to move on to frankincense from gold today as we continue our beautiful Epiphany Masses and thinking about the three gifts the wise men gave. But I had another thought about gold today. You can get a lot out of gold. It is the most precious metal of all, they say. The saint I want to tell you about today, who offered his gold and gave it away most liberally, only became perhaps a very great saint and a gold giver because he was so very humble. Humility is like gold. That is to say, if you have a gold coin at the bottom of a box someplace, it hasn't lost any of its value. It's still there. Even though others don't see it or appreciate it, you know its value, and God does as well. The value of the virtue of humility. The saint I want to tell you about is a bit like one of the three kings. You know, tradition says that one of them came from Africa or Ethiopia, and his name is Balthazar, and he's there next to St. Joseph, who's also a very humble saint, and then he has his camel jockey with him, and he's an African too. So there's two of them with the dark skin, and then, of course, there's the camel, who's just a camel. Well, today's saint came from Africa, and he, like the three kings, brought precious gifts to far away to serve and worship our Lord. His name is St. Hadrian of Canterbury, and he was an African monk who went to Italy and was the abbot of a monastery south of Rome near Naples. It was there that he came to the notice of the Pope, and when the king of the Saxons in far-off cold England sent word to the Pope that they needed a new bishop or archbishop for Canterbury, the most important diocese in the country, the Pope right away thought about Hadrian. He thought, that monk is a very holy man and he's very learned, and that's just what those barbarians up north in England would need. Only Abbot Hadrian was too humble. And he said, oh no, Holy Father, I could never be an archbishop. Appoint someone who's more worthwhile. And he was thinking about a refugee whom he had recently met, and his name was Theodore. And Theodore was a priest himself, a monk, and a refugee from St. Paul's native town of Tarsus in the Holy Land. And so he said, oh, Holy Father, appoint Theodore instead. That's how humble Hadrian was. Appoint Theodore instead, and I'll tell you what, I'll volunteer to go with him. And we two will help each other out to civilize those barbarian English. And so it was done, only they had to get through France to get to England. And sometimes when you travel, it gets a little dicey and it gets complicated. And sure enough, because he had dark skin and was from an exotic country, why then one of the Merovingian kings, those Merovingians are always a little on the bloodthirsty side, suspected him of being a spy. And he was arrested and thrown into prison for a good amount of time. But his companion from the Holy Land, Theodore, was allowed to go free. So Theodore went to England, and he became the archbishop and had everything well organized. And by the time our saint got out of prison, he had a monastery waiting for him where he could still be the abbot as he was in the old days in Italy. Now, back then, the monks not only sang the praises of God in church, but they also conducted schools. And right away, Hadrian got himself settled in, and he started conducting a school. Up until then, all of the great schools were in Ireland or were at least run by Irish monks throughout Europe. But now England would rival Ireland in having a wonderful school. He taught his students Roman law. He taught his students how to read Latin and write it and speak it. They said that he taught them to read Latin and Greek and to speak it just as well as if it were their native tongue. And pretty soon students started to come from all over to his monastery school because they want the learning that he had to offer. And just think, children, all of that came because of the gold of humility. If he had said, "Archbishop, that's a lot of power. Holy Father, you're talking to the right man. Make me the archbishop." He would never have taught or been able to teach all of those students and start such a wonderful school that would last for a long time. And who knows, perhaps he would never have become a saint, because God has a special job and call, star, vocation for each one of us children when we grow up. And it always has something to do with doing God's will and being humble. Today, children, as we continue the holy masses of Epiphany and offering our treasures to our Lord, we should remember to pray for our teachers, the ones we have this year, and all of the teachers we ever had our whole life long. And I think you could safely include in that some good priests that you have known as well, because a good teacher is a great treasure. Sometimes teachers have influenced people to become saints just by their good example and by their teaching. They molded the lives of others towards holiness and goodness. Knowledge, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, along with holiness of life, has a very special power. And that's what makes good teachers to be great teachers. Let's pray for our teachers to become saints, and pray for ourselves too, children, to become saints with the gold of real humility, of knowledge, and of the understanding of our holy faith. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.